Live in our studio, that is a duo called the Claudettes out of Chicago. They are Johnny Iguana on the piano and Michael Caskey on the drums. And they're with us today to preview their show tonight at the Cowboy Monkey in downtown Champaign, which starts at 9 o'clock. And it's actually the my second exposure to the Claudettes. You guys must have been down here in November at one of the bands, and Johnny got a chance to talk with you on the telephone. But
yeah, that's before we played at the Velvet Elvis, which I don't think is hosting shows anymore.
Well, that didn't last.
Isaac
long.
Arms, that guy, he's an excellent chap. But that was the worst load-in imaginable. We had to carry everything you see here and then some up five flights of steps, something like that.
Oh yeah, it was a marathon load-in. And but you know, it really makes you care about the music.
Once you wake up from passing out.
Yeah, it makes you care about the music, about the music first is why you do it.
After you've done a load-in like that, there can be no denying that you got to hit the set with laser-like intensity.
You look like you wanted to punch that microphone to
prove a point. Right out.
Well, I never did find out where the Velvet Elvis was, and I guess it doesn't matter now, does it?
If they're, five if they're flights doing up.
Anything. It was actually like, there was a little bit of secrecy there, where just mostly because they made so much racket. I think they didn't want to announce to the city, hey, here's the address where we're going to be making tons of racket exactly 10 o'clock tonight,
And I was expressly told I couldn't tell people where it was, but I could give an email address or something like that.
Isn't that helpful for promoting a show? Can't tell you where it is. Please come.
That's exactly what I thought. This show is Live and Local. It's your connection to local performances. Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Kelly. It'd be sort of a different show, I think, today. And I'm looking forward to it, although my hearing, I'm not sure about that, if it's looking forward to it or not.
It's loud, is it?
Yeah. Well, actually, it's interesting how we have to set up the sound in the studio here, because if I take the headphones off, I don't hear any piano at all, because it's probably not even playing in the room. Because we all have headphones on, and I can hear the drums sound remarkably not terribly loud if I take the headphones off.
Oh, I thank you.
Yeah, but it's just the... now, whether my colleagues in the news department on the other side of that wall feel the same way, I'll find out later on.
There's still a news department, is there?
There is a news department.
Good.
Yeah,
I'm
this
glad.
Place runs on its news department. Okay, the Claudettes. The name begs the question. I understand you were actually named that by a woman named Claudette. This is the whole story behind the backstory to your gig here. You want to tell it, or shall I read?
Well, I'm interested what your source materials are. Let me hear what
you. Oh, I have about eight pieces of paper here.
Oh, that's good radio.
And I think they pretty much tell the same story that Claudette had a bar in somewhere that I can't find on this
Oglesby.
Piece of paper. Oglesby.
Downtown Oglesby, Illinois.
All right, and that was in 2010 that she discovered you all, hired you as the house band. Went out of business in 2011, or rather lost her lease on the place, and then started hauling you around as her personal house band, and or something to that effect.
Yeah, I mean, she's in Chicago with us, and she's also right over there. She's kind of keeping to herself right now, but she doesn't always come with us. She's got plenty of business concerns apart from us, but when she can, she likes to come out because she still sells beer. She works out deals wherever we are. I can let her talk for herself, I suppose, but I'm feeling chatty. She still sells beers from the stage while we're playing, as if it's so. Our stage becomes Claudette's bar wherever we are. We tend to be a bar within a bar. So, I don't know what kind of deal she works out with the profit sharing.
I'm working on getting my own bar within Claudette's bar.
Yeah, and it's Michael's Tavern.
Yes, Michael's Tavern. It's going to turn into this hopelessly recursive sort of. Performance of that.
Until it finally collapses in on itself.
That's right. That's right. And no one will notice.
And you have flashing advertisements on your chest or something to that effect? Or is that gone out?
We become walking advertisements, essentially, for Claudette's bar. It's actually rather humiliating.
Well, we're trying to make the environment that we're used to come with us everywhere we go, which is flashing chicken wing specials. And what we should really have is 11 TVs behind us everywhere we go, too, with various sporting events on them. And Fox News.
Although probably many of the places you play probably have those anyway.
Sadly, yeah.
I don't know what they have at the
all
Cowboy
except
Monkey
for the biggest amphitheaters that we play have TVs behind
that's
us.
That's right.
Would you like to introduce Claudette? I mean, Claudette is sitting here. Although I have to say, I'm told I can ask questions like this, but Claudette doesn't look like her pictures.
Oh. Well, you can tell them.
Well, of course, you know that the pictures are of a Korean woman. And she is an actress. I am the real Claudette. I am of Nigerian descent, and I just own this band, and I love them. Well, do I?
Day by day. We take it day by day.
Day by day. By day.
Yeah. It's really a business arrangement more than anything else.
Of course.
Well, and a namesake. And a story, a backstory.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the story also, which apparently Claudette didn't know when she hired you in the first place, is that your backstory, the two of you, is considerably highfalutin, sort of. I mean, you've actually played with some people that blues fans will have heard of. Junior Wells, Otis Rush, Buddy Guy, I'm reading here, Coco Taylor. How does Chuck Mangione get in the list?
That was something I did years ago, sort of a one-off. It was great fun.
Is he still playing?
Oh, I don't know if he is now. Don't know. Excellent question.
Yeah. I actually heard him once in concert, which is something I used to be a big fan. But
yeah.
Neither
me too. I mean, I grew up and his records were always playing in the house I grew up in. So.
What kind of music did you grow up with?
All kinds, actually. Folk music, a lot of roots music. I heard a lot of blues music, actually, growing up, which is probably of no surprise, but a lot of classic, Western, you know, European classical music, and then later on, rock and roll. I had an older brother who is probably the reason.
Later on, rock and roll. That's usually the first thing the kids hear.
Yeah.
Or at least pay attention
to. I mean, I just heard a lot. I heard musicals and I guess I got into rock and roll early, and then I got into jazz in something like eighth grade and became really into jazz music all through high school and up until now. Where am I now? How old am I now? Yes, still into jazz. I still love it all.
Historians disagree.
Yes. If you were playing with Chuck Mangione, I don't know, you could be old.
Yes, yes.
Because I know when I heard him, and that was, and I'm old. So.
This was in 97, maybe.
Okay, you don't necessarily have to be old. But do you consider that you have a main style of music that you consider yours?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I truly don't. Although lately I've been gravitating more toward, as I call it, roots music, whether it's music that I listen to or music that I play, just because it seems like that's what connects with folks and that's what inevitably moves their feet. More and more, I often make music for dance, either in an institutional setting. I do dance accompaniment for modern technique classes, and I also compose and record music for modern dance. In fact, Johnny Iguana and I are working with a modern dance company in Chicago called Lucky Plush Productions, and we're working with them on an evening-length work. Very excited about that, one of our many projects. But to answer your question, it's very difficult for me to center myself in one musical style because I feel like I've just been thrust into so many disparate situations. I mean, I used to play classical music too when I was a kid, and I play piano as well. So it's just been a crazy ride.
And now you've arrived at this particular. Now you've arrived.
Yes.
That's right. Now you've arrived.
On time,
Claudette.
Yeah. If we want to talk about classical at any point, we both. I grew up playing it, and I love it. I have particular favorites, knowing that there's a classical foundation to this station here.
There certainly is.
I feel right at home here.
There certainly is. But we ought to have you play something.
Oh yeah, it's been a little while. Generally, I need my sheet music. It amazes me when you see people do. Piano concertos with no sheet music in front of them, like pounding all those notes into your head. It just blows my mind.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
don't think about the laundry. Don't think about what you have to buy at the grocery store. Don't think about, you know, it's as if your other self is standing behind you saying, hey, what are you going to do now, buddy? What note is next? What's the next note? Yeah, you got that one.
that's my mom's favorite. Rhapsody in Blue. And I never liked Gershwin.
Yeah.
But you play it as if you might like it.
I learned it for her. I learned parts of it.
I did everything I did. I did it for my mother.
Plus, it's just not his fault that it just reminds me of airline commercials.
It's
now.
Not his fault.
Well, no, that is not his fault. Well, before we carry on in similar fashion again, why don't we hear another tune and let you guys carry on in similar fashion?
Let's try this little number that definitely has a Ray Charles element to it and then goes off elsewhere, but it's on our debut album, and it's called Deep Soul for High Society.
Deep Soul for High Society, the Claudettes, who are Johnny Iguana and Michael Caskey on piano and drums, respectively. Your CD you mentioned, which is your one and only so far as a duo, Infernal Piano Plot Hatched, in capital letters with an exclamation point, which is also the name of one of the tunes on there.
Yes, it is. Yeah, we'll play that one in a bit. That's a really fun song to play.
Yeah, are these all your compositions on that CD?
One of them is an old blues standard that's been played. The version I know was on a compilation record I had was as a kid called Blues Piano Orgy, and the name of the tune on there is called Tremblin' Blues by Little Brother Montgomery. So it's kind of, you know, like a wartime era blues. He lived in Chicago part of his life and New Orleans part of his life, but I've heard that melody and the music within it played in under various titles by various people, but that's the version I knew. And I think there's some sort of copyright notice or something on the CD. Like, I don't even know if it's possible to track down whose composition it is, but it's an oldie. But we just thought it would be really fun to do in the duo setting. Michael had a really cool drum idea for it. The version I know was just piano, just solo. I've never heard a band do it. Then we thought it'd be fun to do it with rhythm like that. So, but apart from that, all the songs are our own, and our master list of songs continues to have some cover songs added to it, just because we get an inspiration now and then that, ooh, this song would be really cool with this setup. And I mean, the artists that we cover vary really widely. Very few things few of the songs on the list are the kind of thing you think, oh, that's a natural fit. I mean, you know, there's some pretty odd choices, but they really work this way. It's really fun to arrange things for just piano and drums. It's definitely challenging because we don't want to sound like a lounge act. We want to sound like a full band. And since I can't play chords while someone else does a solo and vice versa, you've got to roll it all into one arrangement, you know, for two hands and drums.
Well, you don't sound like a lounge act. I mean, just for the record.
Yeah, the shattered windows around here testify that. Yeah.
Good thing this is all a padded studio here. What you said, some of the stuff that's on your set list, on your repertoire list, mm-hmm. would not seem an obvious fit, but the way your press at least describes your sound and the way people are hearing your sound is, it would be hard to say what would fit.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Or what wouldn't fit?
Well, being that there's a piano blues foundation here, I mean, it really sprung from the idea sprung from these great records in the 60s. There was Otis Spann and S.P. Leary doing piano and drums music. And I kind of wanted to make a whole recording that could stand up that's just that, but also just let our own voices be heard. And so it has, there's a blues foundation. I wouldn't say, I mean, there are some classical flourishes. I end up thinking it sounds like cartoon music a lot of the time, because it's, if you think about like Bugs Bunny, Looney Tunes, that kind of, you know, Raymond Scott in particular, Michael and I like to listen to and talk about. He was quite a fascinating figure. But, you know, there's R&B, jazz, classical, you know, like Spike Jonze stuff or something, just all rolled into one. And you don't even think about it. It just becomes music. It doesn't sound like, oh, they're doing that now, that style of music. I don't want that at all. It's just the tunes just feel natural, and they feel like they are, came from a place where the song just arrived to me. Like, I always think of the Adam West Batman, where just like, you know, a printout comes to him and he pulls it out and it's just, there it is. You know, the songs appear that way. Dating ourselves again.
Yes. Yeah.
Adam West.
Batman. The kids never heard of him.
Michael Keaton, who? Yeah. No, yeah. I'm saying Adam West.
Nope. Adam West, a very different sort of Batman.
Softer, rounder.
Yeah. So the
more caring.
The tune. I'm always curious about tune names. Deep Soul for High Society.
Oh, it's sarcastic, don't you see?
That would have been my inclination.
Mostly, I try to come up with songs that I say, "What is this song expressing? What does this song make me feel?" And that song, you know, the Deep Soul part comes from the, you know, just the Ray Charles-ness. But then when it goes into these other chord changes that then to me sound like clinking glasses and bubbly being poured. And,
yeah, I remember when I was originally learning this song, you referring to the middle sort of solo section as the dance hall section.
That's the third part. I didn't even, the part, I mean this, that thing to me is like the high society part. And then it goes into sort of like a nostalgic dance hall, like kind of like rock and roll dancing kind of thing in the middle. The way it used to be. It goes back to the way it used to be. Oh, things were so much better the way it used to be. What did Billy say? Things aren't what they used to be, and if you ask me, I'd say they never were. That's the line, yeah.
But it's also, I mean, I would say that, yes, I hear the blues, but in that case of that song, I also heard an awful lot of rock and roll because it was sort of unrelentingly loud.
Yeah. There's a part where he stopped playing drums for a half a second. That was pretty quiet.
I caught that, yeah.
It's my favorite part.
maybe to prove our dynamism, we'll do a little slightly different number for our next one. Maybe we'll try that Southbound Stroll, or we could do Serenading the Cleanup Crew, even.
Serenading the Cleanup Crew. I like the name of that.
Let's try that one.
The name, anyway.
Is it time for another number?
It can be. There's no rules on this show, particularly.
None taken.
So what was that long list I saw outside that they held me down and made me read and sign? What was that? That wasn't rules? All right. Well, we'll discuss
those
that.
Those were other kids.
Okay. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Shall we?
Yep.
Very sophisticated.
Sorry.
Sorry, this is radio.
Well, in fact, Michael, this is not a TV show, as I've said quite a lot on the show lately, obviously. But I enjoyed watching Michael because he looked very sophisticated while he played this particular one.
I assure you, I'm quite the simpleton.
As opposed to a bit manic on the previous one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I try to embody, you know, whatever the tune requires. Many times I think of myself not really as a drummer, but as somebody who is acting like a drummer.
I think you're playing the drums very well. So,
well, I wasn't fishing, but
yeah,
thank you.
There you go.
I got one.
And also, the nice thing about that, among other things, is that it really shows off your piano chops in a way that...
It's harder to... It's pretty hard to play really quietly and really well and with feeling. You know, I mean, I think a lot of bands that come out, I mean, you think that our piano drum thing is loud. I mean, obviously, you know, the rock bands out there with the Marshall Stacks is a different level. And I've played in a lot of rock bands I love, but certainly you ask them to do an acoustic set. Like, not every one of those bands can do an acoustic
set.
That's
not going to fly. No, you probably wouldn't want to hear it. Serenade for the Cleanup Crew, is that what it's called?
Serenading the Cleanup Crew.
Serenading. Was that your tune?
Yeah.
Also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like it.
And I think just, you know, as this is instrumental music, I you were talking about song titles earlier. I also tend to gravitate toward the evocative ones because it gives the listener something to imagine. and visualize when the music is going by. I mean, and it really, for you, I mean, just the sound of the brushes is sounds is like the broom sweeping the floor, you know, rhythmically. And
this is like, you know, the show ended at 2. We were paid in the office of the what's his name, like I was going to say the guy who played Barton Fink in all the Coen brothers movies. John Turturro.
Yeah, you know, you've done it.
You know, the movie Mo Better Blues. He's the you know, the
well, we didn't do
club,
so well
club owner, you know, breaking you the bad news upstairs with a cigar.
It's only $7, boys, and you're gonna have to pay us.
So that's already happened, and now we're back down at the piano, just like, and the lights are on. They're cleaning up, and we're just having a drink and kind of wallowing, and we're playing. It's 5:30 in the morning, and. So there you are. They're serenading the cleanup crew.
Nice.
And Claudette is issuing you a fine for, you know, not bringing in that better house or something to that effect.
Of course. You guys still haven't painted my walls yet.
After this trip, I think we said we could do it, maybe.
That you'd do it after this trip?
Yes.
Yeah, but it's funny to mention it now. I mean, we have the whole time in the van.
Yeah,
you figure if you mention it now, it's going to be so irritating that I won't be able to forget it, and then we'll definitely do it, right? They'll get accomplished.
Of course. uh-huh.
These are the Claudettes, which we haven't said in a little while, and they're playing at the Cowboy Monkey in downtown Champaign several hours from now at 9:00.
I should make mention of the other, because we set this show up with our new friend David Garcia, who's the drummer from the Curses, who we met at that show that you referenced before at the Velvet Elvis. They're playing with us in a group called We the Animals that I'm really interested to hear. And I hear that they're really well-liked around here. And then we were supposed to be playing with our friend Larry, who is Curb Service. Larry Gates, who is Curb Service, which is a really great music and a really excellent fellow. But he sent around an email this morning that he's fallen victim to a throat infection, and I quote. So
sounds suspicious.
Sounds, yeah.
Suspiciously terrible. Larry, if you're listening... wish you the very best.
Yeah. The so very he's bestest. Bedridden. So, but I know Mike Ingram and what's the other guy? Are gonna be, you said you know the other guy's going to be playing in his stead.
Brandon. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I've got.
So you'll not all be playing together, but you'll play in
one
some,
after the other.
Some
I think
series,
we play yeah. at 10 or something like that. But music's going to be going all night there, starting 9:30 or something.
Yeah.
It's always fun there
at the Cowboy Monkey. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our broadcast is made possible with support from Sweeney Brothers Carpet and Rug Gallery of Bloomington, an authorized Karastan Broadloom and Rug dealer at 11 West Port Court on Bloomington's East Side. Sweeney Brothers, where the beauty of a room starts with the floor. You know, and I asked earlier about, actually, I don't remember what I was asking about, but I know it was where I meant to go with what I was asking about the previous tune. It was pretty short. I think I said it was unrelentingly loud, but it was also rather short. When are you giving us the short version of some of these?
Oh, no. No, we you know, I grew up a Minutemen fan, and true to their name, you know, their songs were 1 to 3 minutes. I don't really want to belabor the point with any of these. I feel like we kind of got a million of them in that, like, we pretty often come up with a line that I really like, and then, oh, and then it leads to here, and then maybe there'll be a solo section or something, but there's not really a whole lot more to say once I feel like all of them are, these are written songs. I mean, there's room for improvisation in two-thirds of them. And there are sections for that, but these are written pieces, and I don't want to have anything feel like it overstays its welcome, you know. Once the pieces seem to end at an obvious place for me, and maybe our longest song is 4 minutes or something. I think the recorded version of Serenading the Cleanup Crew we just played is maybe a robust 4:45 or something like that, you know. But otherwise, these songs are about two to three and something. I mean, our record is 39 minutes and it's 13 songs or something around there.
Well, I was curious because, you know, as people who came up in jazz and blues and so on, you do improvise, and I didn't know if these would open up that way or could open
certainly
up.
Certainly some
way.
Do.
Yeah.
We do have room for that in some of the arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And also no.
And also no, yeah.
Nothing in life is simple. It's all yes and no.
Johnny, you mentioned enjoying playing in rock bands, and I think I read somewhere that you've always had a blues band, and you've always had a rock band, and you've always had a punk band,
well,
more or less, or almost always, more or less simultaneously.
A blues band and a rock band that has ranged from something very sort of full of like electronic with synths and things like that to things that are more sort of nasty up the punk way, you know, in terms of tones. But even when I call it a punk band, I've played nothing but keyboards, so I'm, you know, it's not going to just be guitar, bass, and drums. But I did play in my band, Oh My God, I play organ through a Leslie, and I don't spin it. I just get this distorted sound, and people would maybe think it's a guitar because it really doesn't sound anything like an organ most of the time. But yeah, since I was a young teenager, I mean, since I was like 14 or 15, I've really, really liked, and it never really changed. I've liked being in two different groups. I don't mean just occasionally. I mean two groups that are really going for it and going at it and playing a lot and practicing a lot, because it just sort of recalibrates me. When I come back to each, I can kind of hear it more freshly. You know, it's just nice to switch things up. And, you know, I mean, I guess people like you go to work and then come home and have their family, and those are two different nice places to be. And I sort of feel that way about having two different groups that, oh, I've left that and now I'm at this. This is great. I forgot about how good this was. I was so busy getting my brain ready for that one, you know, that I keep talking about, these days I am talking about my brain a lot, like it's just something sitting on that stool over there. Like,
you did say when I walked in right before we were going to start the show that you said you were actually trying to review all the songs because your brain has a little trouble.
Yeah, it's not my fault. This
keeping
is
track
to do
of
me.
Them.
It's his brain.
Yeah. Keeping
it's
track
to
of them.
Yeah, I'm doing great. It's my brain that's suffering.
Yeah. But talk a little bit about how that works for you particularly.
It's not
easy. Now, is this you talking or is this your brain talking?
This is a team effort. some people blissfully go through life just like, you know, have an encyclopedic knowledge. Like this guy I know who started this music catalog that I write for has an encyclopedic knowledge of music, and once he learns the name of a New Orleans clarinetist, Dixieland clarinetist from the late 30s who lived to be 28 years old but is a cult hero down there, or, you know, to aficionados, he will always know that person's name. The person could be called, you know, Willie Mitchums, you know, like that. You know, Willie Mitchums, he was a great clarinet player. He'll never forget that. And being that he's in the business of not only selling other labels' records in his catalog, but also he had a label and we would license albums and own them for a couple of years. And he would know without having to even research whether a particular 60s sunshine pop record or psychedelic record from 1971, whether that record is going to sell, what the story of the artist was, and what its selling history is, and whether it's a good time. He doesn't even have to look that stuff up. His brain just like remembers all this stuff. And I'm always kind of envious. There's got to be some kind of downside. He must suffer too. Let's hope. I just never been, and like I did really well in high school and in college, and it was by dint of just cramming stuff into my head, and my head would, you know, be going to be explode. I would spend the entire night beforehand cramming as much as you can for a test, and then I would do great, and then I'd realize a year later, I have no idea. I filled up two blue books on Blake and Yeats. Couldn't begin to tell you a thing about them anymore. Nothing stayed with me at all. I also excelled in every subdivision of math, you know, calculus and trig and all that. And I don't even know what any of those things are anymore. I don't even know what they are. I have no idea. It's like, whatever I know now, I know right now. It's in my head now. It's all temporary rentable space. And then the lease is up. The jig is up.
And so this relates to music.
It's for me, I have to review. So once I learn the chord changes, even my own chord changes for songs, I have to review them pretty often. I can't just now like, okay, we have a gig, you know, 2 weeks. Like, and then if I don't play any time in the interim, and then we get to the gig and play, like inevitably I'm going to mess up a lot of the chords because I'm just going to, I won't know them. They don't have permanent storage in my brain.
Do the genres that you cover, I don't mean cover as in, you know, cover tune, do they ever get mixed up?
The genres?
Yeah, well, let's say you're playing...
You start to suddenly play Chopin in the middle of a 12-bar blues?
Well, I wasn't quite thinking Chopin, but, you know, some blues band, you know, let's say sort of a straight-ahead blues band that you were just playing with, and then you playing the Claudettes, and all of a sudden the tunes merge.
No, not really. It's really simply a chord. You mean do I go into a whole different piece or something like that?
By accident.
No, yeah. No, I just fall flat on my face in front of everybody.
That's quite glorious, really.
Well, let's give you another chance to do that.
Yeah. Well, are you really going to make me play Tremblin' Blues? Because this is one of those tunes where sometimes I forget it.
Well, we could do the double shot instead.
No, I'm going to be up to the challenge. Listeners will know that if I mess this up.
Yeah, I'm intrigued now.
I like this.
Okay, let's try it.
All right.
This is that song I mentioned is the only non-original Claudette's composition on our album, and it's called Tremblin' Blues. It's that Little Brother Montgomery beautiful little piece.
Hit it, Hot Shot.
How'd you do?
The only issue there was this godforsaken headphone. This is, this headphone cord kept landing on my arm.
I was like, what do you need that arm for?
Is that what that little right arm flourish was a couple of times?
No.
That was for show.
That was for the video viewers out there.
All the video viewers in radio land.
I do find I tend to have certain physicalities I do with my hand leaping off of the keys and rather than question it, I just let it happen.
And to see those folks, you'll just have to visit the Cowboy Monkey tonight.
You'll just have to climb on over to the Cowboy Monkey.
Starting at 9 o'clock, it's the Claudettes and the Curses and some other folks who'll be out there. Cowboy Monkey downtown Champaign. This is Live and Local, and the Claudettes live with us here in our studio. Pianist Johnny Iguana, drummer Michael Caskey. I thought I'd sort of give some of your credentials just in case people think this is a crazed happening here. You were recruited by Junior Wells when you were really young.
Pretty young, yeah. Well, but yeah, that was. We were talking about that in the van today, just talking about other things. But yeah, he was. It wasn't just that he was a blues star, but he was my favorite one from when I was 15 and I was in my first blues band. We just happened to have Junior Wells records among us, and 3/4 of the songs we played were right off of those records. So when I met him in New York City, I grew up in Philadelphia playing music, and then when I was living in New York City working in publishing and playing some music, I went out, and one thing led to another night where I met a guy, and he used to play with Junior Wells, and he said, oh, he's going to be in town the next night. And then I went out that night and met him, and he didn't have a piano player at that time. I went and tried out live in Boston with him, and ended up moving to Chicago and playing with him for 3 years, which was mostly really great, and it was quite a thrill at first. The realities of being in a van and driving 200 days a year from coast to coast, as well as overseas, it wasn't all peaches and cream, but
just peaches, as it turns out. The cream is extra.
The cream had curdled. Junior was really a fantastic human being, and one of the great blues men of all time. Really underrated singer, as well as one of the defining masters of Chicago blues harmonica. That's a lot of days to be away and to be living out of a backpack. I mean, it got a little old because, I mean, I love to travel and play, and we still do a lot, and I want to do more and more of it. But that was there was a real bona fide blues revival in the mid-90s. And we were just, I'd go for 35 days and come home for a couple of days and then go for 35 days over and over again. And some of the people in the band, it was a 9-piece band, and I enjoyed the company of some of them more than others. I mean, you're living and eating and traveling and playing with all the same people for all of that time. There's a lot of personalities involved. I mean, I kept a journal. I kept 600 pages of journal entries, and I should really work with some talented people and make a movie out of it someday, because it was quite a motley crew we had with us.
I can imagine that anytime you're touring with any group, something similar could be said, and maybe the bigger the group, the more conflicts will in any event. And you're on these Grammy-nominated series, or I guess it's a two CD set that actually when I talked with you back in November, I think we played two or three off of there called Chicago Blues: A Living History, or is that's the touring group?
That's the group, and we have two releases that are both two CD sets. One of them was Grammy nominated, and one of them won a Blues Music Award, which is the highest award for blues records. That group has brought me to Beirut, to Europe several times, headlined the Chicago Blues Festival, played at Montreux. We played on a bill at Montreux Jazz Festival that was Bob Dylan first and then us. And he wanted to play first. He didn't want to get up there after a big, blues band with all these, I guess he just probably wanted to go home, maybe.
Well, that might be it. But you can say that Bob Dylan opened for you.
Yeah. I wasn't happy about it.
And Michael Caskey, a Downbeat Magazine Award winner, 5-time Detroit Music Awards recipient. Does that mean that's where you're from?
Yeah, I used to live in Detroit right out of college, and was lucky enough to graduate from music school in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and then just moved to Detroit and had some friends who were really plugged into the music scene. And I immediately found myself playing 5 and 6 nights a week, sometimes more. And had a band there called the Brothers Groove that was pretty much an original funk band with vocals and all that. And that was actually how I met Johnny back in maybe 2001. We shared a bill, the Brothers Groove shared a bill with Oh My God, the band that Johnny has, and it was a good time in Detroit, but I left there in, I guess, late 2001, actually. I left Detroit, and pretty shortly thereafter made the move to Chicago, where I also had a lot of friends.
Yeah, well, and a lot of blues happening there, among many other things. Yeah. And then you have your European tour, and you're Grammy nominee with the Heritage Blues Orchestra.
Well, that's true. I'm not an original member of that band. It's actually the same drummer who plays in that group as who plays with Johnny in the Chicago Living History of the Blues. As it happens, sometimes those bands are booked simultaneously in Europe or wherever. So I'm lucky enough to get the call. To work with HBO, as we call it, the Heritage Blues Orchestra, and they're mainly based in the East Coast, so we just meet up over there and rehearse a little bit and do some shows, and it's always fun. It's just kind of lighthearted, and I look at it as my job is to go up there and just have a good time and kind of bring that energy to the music, and it always seems to go well.
Well, for an Eastern Blues Orchestra to go to Chicago to pull their backup drummer must say something, because they could somebody else from the East.
Actually, both drummers are the other drummer's a Chicago drummer, too.
Oh, is that right?
Kenny Smith. His dad was the longtime drummer. His dad was Willie Big Eyes Smith, who was Muddy Waters' drummer for a long time, or decades. And Kenny grew up in a house where all the great bluesmen were there all the time. And so Kenny now is a really in-demand blues drummer. And so the group, Heritage Blues Records, that Michael plays with is a Chicago drummer, and then it's some East Coast. Although Bill Sims is from the South, and then
he
lived in New York State for a long time.
That.
I think he's from from Georgia or something.
No kidding.
Yeah, but he's been living in New York State. He's been like
that guy
Woodstock,
never tells me anything
or lies.
But plus, he owes me money. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I probably owe him money.
But they have European horn section.
That's true. I've described this band terribly. Yeah, it's true. There's the horn section. It's sort of a strange amalgam of musicians and styles. It sounds like it would be this sort of rootsy blues ensemble, but it's the Heritage Blues Orchestra. An orchestra, in this case, I guess it implies this horn section that's European. I guess a bunch of Parisians. Bruno Wilhelm is a fine saxophone player, and he did all the horn arrangements with some other French musicians. And so the album is a blend of kind of like field holler blues and some electric blues and slide guitar, but also with sort of this montage of horns and interesting arrangements, almost
impressionistic.
Impressionistic, like Gil Evans arrangements, or like almost sounds like how Satie might envision horns to go on this music. It's different, and yet comforting and pleasing, and so people dig it.
You can check it out, the Heritage Blues Orchestra. For that matter, you can check out the what's the full name? Chicago Blues: A Living History.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever CDs are sold, which is only online anymore. Now the Claudettes are here with us live on Live and Local. We might as well let you play something else.
You got it.
We're going to take our listeners to the land of precisely three dances.
We'll be right back.
So is that the name of the tune, The Land of Precisely Three Dances?
Yeah. The song has three sections of different rhythms. So as a song might have been The Land of a Thousand Dances, ours is The Land of Precisely Three Dances.
A Thousand Dances would be a longer tune.
Yeah.
Unless they were very short.
Extraordinarily. It's the Claudettes here on Live and Local, playing live in her studio. Johnny Iguana on piano, Michael Caskey on drums. They're playing at the Cowboy Monkey in Champaign tonight, starting at 9, or at least the show starts at 9, and there's some other folks playing tonight as well. They'll come on, guessing maybe around 10, but let's say we don't really know, so if you want to hear them, you bet, and all the other groups, you better go there by 9 o'clock.
We will be available for sparkling conversation tonight as well.
Just like what we're having right here as well. This is Live and Local. Our broadcast is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-333-4577. Programs are also made possible, as always, with the support of the Friends of WILL and in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, an agency of the state of Illinois. The Claudettes, named Claudettes by Claudette, and Claudette is here. Are you a music fan?
No, of course. If I wasn't, I could not stand these men.
Were you going to say boys?
Oh, yeah.
Since you looked into my eyes and remembered, I hate that.
Yeah, exactly. No, I grew up loving all kinds of music. When I was at home, my mother would play R&B. And when I would go to school, I actually, of course, you believe that you guys do know of this, that I used to play in the orchestra, and so I loved Gershwin, and though you called him out earlier. But I love all kinds of music, and of course, traditional Nigerian music as well.
And so you even love the music they play?
Of course. Beats in it, and of course, the piano pieces are beautiful, yes.
Helps to have the bartender or whatever she's going to be doing tonight enjoying the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
I understand that some folks in Chicago aren't all that happy with your new record.
Well, that's not the record.
Rumors that...
Well, I ran over them with the van. I mean, that was more the issue. No, everyone likes the record. We just... You know, everything I put together musically tends to fall between neat genre cracks, and I, you know, blame myself for not, if I wanted to
conforming.
Be, yeah, if I wanted to be up in a higher stratum, I guess, of success, you know, I would play very neatly this kind of music or that. But the Claudettes, as you can hear, isn't, there's plenty of blues in it, but it's not a blues band. But I still try to hoodwink all the clubs and festivals into booking us because... First of all, I can choose, if we're doing one set, I can choose the songs that are really really straight blues or close to it for a preponderance of the set. And then, you know, some of our more eccentric pieces will maybe be, tolerated. But so we played at Buddy Guy's Legends, and there were some members of the staff there that are used to groups looking a certain way and presenting their show a certain way and saying a certain kind of banter between songs and also playing a certain repertoire. And we had none of that, you know. A lot of people really liked it. To me, there was quite a great reaction in the room, but they just felt like it wasn't for them. And in fact, that led to us, as this was also recalled in the van drive down here today, that a club in St. Louis canceled our show. That was just a few weeks after that they canceled us because they had heard that there was a little bit of uproar among the staff there at Buddy's. It's really just one or two guys there, but everybody likes talking smack. So
and it got you some pretty good publicity.
Well,
probably.
One of the guys that was there at the show, who's a super fan, is a great guy named Jeff Elbel, and he's a musician. He plays many instruments in many groups, and he also is one of the main music writers for the Chicago Sun-Times, and he was in the front row, and he had previewed the show with a nice sized piece in the Chicago Sun-Times, and then he wrote a follow-up that continued, you know, interviewing Michael and I and talking about Michael and me and talking about music and the Claudettes, but also talking about the less than warm reception we got at Buddy Guy's Legends. And I still play there with other groups, and it's all friendly. But and I'll probably still, like, maybe there'll be a new booking agent, and I'll see if I can trick him into booking us too. You know.
But so far, Buddy Guy's Legends won't book the Claudettes.
I haven't tried again. I didn't have a particular hankering to go back there with the Claudettes after that. There's plenty of places that do want us, and it's not like, I mean, I've played on, Buddy Guy's is a great club, but I've played on that stage, you know, 300 times or something since I moved to Chicago. So it's not like a dream come true for me to play there. It's for a lot of groups it is, a lot of artists it is, but.
You've had your dream come true.
My blues dream, there's not really any stages left, which is nice to be able to say that I'm aspiring to playing blues. I mean, playing at Montreux and playing and being flown to Beirut to play for the royal family, and playing despite my father's urges not to go there. He thinks, you know, the anti-Semitism got card. But although there's some truth there.
And now you've played on Live and Local.
Yes, yeah, so we can check that box now.
That's right. You know,
and you could always come back. It's the Claudettes. They'll be at the Cowboy Monkey in Champaign tonight at 9 o'clock. And you can find them on YouTube. You can find them on various places online. And we're going to hear them again in just a minute. Let me, I don't really have time to do any of the calendar here, or you won't get to play another tune. I'll mention just a couple things. There is a guest artist and faculty recital tonight at 7:30 at Smith Memorial Hall on the University of Illinois campus. It's with Elizabeth Field Baroque Violin and Charlotte Maddox-Marsh on harpsichord. That's at 7:30 tonight. Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra playing tomorrow night at the Krannert Center in Urbana. That's at 7:30. I'm picking things that are of complete contrast to what we've had going on today. The Jersey Boys are going to be have a couple of shows at the Hoagland Center in Springfield. Let's see, I'm looking at tomorrow at 8 o'clock. I'm sorry, they're at Sangamon Auditorium at Springfield tonight, also at 8 o'clock. And there's lots more going on, but that's what I have time to mention. The Switchback is what I was looking at, is at the Hoagland Center in Springfield tonight at 8 o'clock. Programs today are made possible. I said that one. You're listening to 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. We're a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. We have just a couple minutes. Take us out.
Okay, this is for New Orleans, and it's called Big Easy Women.